Thank you for joining our family at Bartlett Baptist Church. We are a worshiping family, making disciples by reaching out to our community and embracing each other in fellowship. It is our desire to help people mature into Christ-likeness. For more information or for additional resources, please stay tuned after today's message.
If you would turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm going to share from a familiar passage for most of us. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we'll look in verse 17 in just a moment. Keep your finger there. And I'm going to just share a little bit about our title today. You can see on the screen it says, Questioning Your Faith. I don't know about in your life, but in my life and in probably many of you, you've had periods of doubt. Maybe you grew up in the church, maybe you didn't, but you've heard all the things about Christianity. But at some point in time, and some point in your life, whether it's through crisis or difficulty, or maybe you read something or heard something, it changed. Maybe something was going on inside of you, and you started to wonder, is this really true? Have I bought into something because maybe my parents did? Maybe I've been grandfathered into my faith? You know, a lot of times we think, well, because the point where you really start to wonder, is this real? Is this true? Is Jesus really who he says he is? And has he really made a difference in my life? And I don't mean to cause you to doubt, but I will tell you that I'm reminded of a situation I've shared with many of you before about a young man that came to live in our ministry building in the apartment at the Baptist Collegiate Ministry. If you don't know, I work at the University of Memphis with a campus ministry there, and we have a building on campus. And one year, several years ago, probably about 10 years ago, a young man had gotten involved sort of slightly in our ministry as a freshman and started going to a freshman Bible study on Monday nights, but I never really got to know him through the other aspects of our ministry until he came to me one day and said, hey, I'd like to live in the building next semester in the fall, my sophomore year. And I said, well, that's fine. We'll fill out an application and get you possibly in that room. We'll see. In the meeting organization on campus, and we are wanting to do a panel discussion about faith and doubt and God and atheism and all that kind of stuff, and wondering if you participate. I said, well, I'm not sure about that. That makes me a little nervous, but they said, no, we'll get you a panel. It's not going to be a debate. There'll be just questions. It's no problem. And I said, okay, I agreed to it, and I started preparing, reading, and doing a bunch of things like that. And then as time got closer, as I asked them about their panel, it ended up being me and an atheist. And that was it. And so I was really nervous to the point where it's the first time I've been on a platform and thought I was going to throw up right there. So I was really fearful. There was about 100 students there and adults as well. And as the night went on, I realized that it was pretty well divided between about half Christians and half non-anti-Christians. You know, I mean, we're talking about not just non-Christians. I'm talking about people who didn't like Christianity. So much so that there were actually people who were not college students, older people, my age and older, some who had olive branch atheist sweatshirts. That was how devoted they were to it. They were wearing their shirts, and as I would make a point from Scripture, they would boo me. You know, and I'm like, wow, I've never had that happen before. I mean, a few times when I preach, people don't like it, but I mean, not that bad. So they really did just challenge me. Well, this young man who had applied to live in the dorm as a freshman was sitting in the room there with us. And so I didn't think anything of that except that I was thinking, I just hope I make it through the night. To be honest, I was just scared. And I shared truth, and I feel like God spoke several times and took care of it. But that next fall, as he moved in, and we told him he had the room, about 2 weeks into the semester, he came to me and said, I just want you to know, Jeff, that I'm struggling a little bit with my faith. I said, okay, well, tell me a little bit about what you're talking about. And he said, well, I didn't grow up as a Christian. I didn't understand what it was to be in church and so on, but my senior year in high school, somebody persuaded me to go to a Baptist church, and I got baptized. But I've read this summer all these books that refute Christianity, and I'm starting to think I might be an atheist. I said, wait, hold on now. Now, you're in a Christian ministry here on campus. Our job is to convert people to Christ, not to lose them to atheism, so you can't do that. And he didn't respond well, but I was just kidding, to be honest. I didn't say that. I was really scared too. But in October, he came to me and said, I've decided I'm an atheist, and if you need me to move out, I will. And I said, Chad, I don't want you to move out, but don't proselytize, number one. Don't try to convert anybody to atheism. You can still come around and do your duties, but let's just talk about it. Let's have a continuing conversation. That was October. I started watching as Chad would bring people from that very group, the atheist group on campus, to our weekly lunches. And they would make fun of, not to where everybody could see, where I could see, make fun of the speakers, make fun of the topics, laugh at Christianity. And all of a sudden, what I thought was his bad scenario was transferring to me. I started to question a lot of things. And I started to read a lot of things. Now, I didn't doubt necessarily that Jesus was real or any of those things, but I started thinking, I need to really delve into this. And I'd never really been face-to-face with, why do I believe this? Why do I follow this? And I want you to know that God began to work in my life. And I used to think, I don't want to test my faith because that's pretty, you know, that'll cause me to doubt. But I realized that the strengthening of my faith was happening through my doubts. Because I started to dig in. All of a sudden, I started to care more about, what do I really believe? And a lot of times I have parents that say, hey, if my kid ends up taking a professor that's an atheist, please tell them not to. And I'm not saying I try to force them to, but what I realize is a lot of students go to those classes and walk away stronger in their faith. Not always, but sometimes, because they are challenged. And a lot of times what we end up doing is just simply sitting here, taking in, leaving, and acting like nothing happened. Because our faith is not really important to us. Over the course, I saw a pastor or associate pastor in a church in North Carolina, but Stephen and this young man began a discussion. They ate lunch every week. They went to coffee and started talking. And over the course of that year, they had conversations. Chad was still an atheist and adamant about it. But I want you to know that when it came time on May 31st of that year, I went to Kirby Woods Baptist Church that morning because Chad was being baptized. He'd come to Christ as a result of that discussion. It wasn't because of one thing Stephen said, but it was because all of a sudden Christ became real to him. And Chad didn't just go back to living like he was before. Chad became passionate about Christ. His life changed. He had gone through a form of Christianity and a form of belief prior. But I want to tell you, his life intersected with Jesus Christ that year. And now he's a principal at a Christian academy in Little Rock, Arkansas, and he's leading his family to follow Christ. He's leading others to follow Christ. And it's because he came to the realization that Jesus is real. His faith made a difference in his life. Well, what I want you to do today, and what I want us all to do, is to question our faith. And we're going to look at three different things that will help us understand what it is to question our faith. And I'm not talking about it in a negative way, but in a positive way. But it's based out of these verses that many of you have heard before out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And so if you would listen as we read beginning in verse 17, read along if you could. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Verse 21 goes on to say, for our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Would you pray with me? Father, we pray this morning as we question our faith, as we look deep into our hearts, not just to determine whether information is accurate or not, but instead determine whether the Word of God has changed us. We pray that you would reveal to us all the things that we need to understand. We pray that if you want to work in our lives, that we'd be open to that. I pray that every person in this room, myself included, would answer yes before the question is asked of what you want to do in our lives. Help us to be willing, open, and honest with our two things to do before we get into it. I want to share with you, first of all, what we need to do is define faith. Faith, a lot of times we think of faith as Christianity. Christianity is our faith. I go to church at a Baptist church, so some people might even say I have a Baptist faith. There are Muslims who have a Muslim faith. There are Jews who have a Jewish faith, and it keeps going. That's not the faith we're necessarily talking about. I mean, obviously, that's the foundation of our faith is what we believe. But what I want to talk about is how belief goes from here to here. Is where we're not talking about just what we know and understand, but what really lives out in our lives. And so we're going to look at faith as it's practiced. Faith that's a heart faith, faith that's a changed life faith, faith that shows that we trust God by the way we live, talk, act, and so on. But I believe it's important if you look, and you don't have to look there, but 2 Corinthians chapter 13 actually says something to us about this today in verse 5. It says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves, or do you not realize this is about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you? So what Paul is saying is this, it's important to examine yourselves regularly and say, am I really in the faith? And so as we do this today, we're going to look and see, are we in the faith? And so the first thing we ask is, number one, is your faith transactional? And you're going to say, that's a strange way to ask. But is your faith transactional? We're about to go through a transactional stage in our year, which is called December 25th. There's a transaction that takes place every month, or excuse me, every 25th of December, typically in most households, and that is, for a gift that you give, somebody gives you a gift back. Okay, that's a transaction. Now, if you're like my kids, we give gifts, they say thanks. I needed that, you know, but that's about it. So we get their great, the transaction is their gratefulness, right? They love us, they hug us sometimes, and I wish more. But there's a transaction that takes place there. A transaction typically is you go today to lunch, don't start thinking about it yet, but you go to lunch, you get some food, and in return, you give them money. That's a transaction. There are transactions that take place in the gospel, and we've seen one of them, and that is this. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. So the thing is if you are in Christ, that's the transaction that's taking place. There are two basic transactions in Christianity. Some of you can look back and say, yeah, I'm a Christian because I grew up in church, or I'm a Christian because this happened. Well, you're a Christian, number one, because there was an unfair transaction that took place, which is called, I would call it, your house, you pay him to paint your house. Normally, the exchange is equal value. You get somebody to paint your house, you pay him to paint your house. But in this situation, God unfairly had to do what is not, I would call, a fair transaction. And what that means is this. Verse 21 said, for our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin so that we might become his righteousness. In other words, it didn't benefit God to come down to us and provide salvation to us. But what he did is he came here in spite of our sin, in spite of the fact that he was perfect, he didn't do anything to deserve the way we had rebelled against him, but he still came to us and he still put himself on a cross. He took all the sins of the world on himself, and in return gave us forgiveness, gave us salvation, gave us hope for eternity, gave us a relationship with God that had been separated. That's the great exchange. We didn't bring anything to it. He gave it all to us. And so the great exchange basically is like a song that I learned growing up. Maybe some of you know this if you were in youth group in the 70s. Sorry, but that's the truth. Don't laugh. Stop. But it's basically, he paid a debt, I won't sing it, he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, the whole day long. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. I want you to know that that song reminds me that there is nothing I can do to make myself right with God. The transaction is the great exchange, that Jesus exchanged his perfect place in heaven as God, came to earth, sacrificed himself on the cross so that I could have salvation. But that exchange is going to sound really strange that I say this. That exchange happens in the fact that we are in Christ. But the thing is, we're not in Christ if that's all that happens. And let me explain the other exchange, the other transaction. The other transaction is this. I place my faith in response to his great exchange. I place my faith, my trust, my life in his hands and say, I belong fully to you. I give myself to you. You see, salvation exists whether you respond to it or not. But it doesn't happen for you, because by not responding, we reject salvation. If we are offered a gift at Christmas and say, hey, here's a gift for you, it's the greatest gift you'll ever receive, I don't want it. I'm okay. Is it ours? No, it's not. And so if you say, yeah, I grew up, I believe in God. I believe Jesus died on the cross. I believe all these things are true, but you don't surrender your life to Christ, there is not a transaction that has led to eternal life for you. What we do is the great transaction that took place is what Jesus did, but the response and what we do is give our lives to Christ. Well, how does that take place in Scripture? Well, John 1:12 says, as many as received him, to those, only those, he gave the right to become children of God. So just because your parents are Christians and you grew up in church, or maybe because you've been in this church all your life and you can't remember a time you weren't in this church, that does not make you right with God. It's only when you surrender yourself to Christ. As a matter of fact, Jesus says, if you want to be my disciple, and a disciple is the same thing as a Christian, the normal Christian life is saying, I follow Jesus. I choose to follow Jesus with the rest of my life. Well, that doesn't mean that you just say, yeah, I'll take the benefits, but not the cost. So that in exchange for what Christ has done, what we do is we say, my faith is transactional. In other words, you ought to be able to look at a time or a place or a situation in your life where you say, I know that Jesus, that I gave him everything, that I surrendered my life to him, and I put my faith and my trust fully in him. Because that's when the transaction happens. When did this happen in your life? Have you exchanged your life for the Christ life? Because anyone can come to Christ. Scripture says it. If anyone is in Christ, if you are in that relationship, it will make a difference. So, is your faith transactional? Have you exchanged your life for the salvation that God provides? The second thing is this, though. Is your faith transformational? Not only transactional, but transformational. As a matter of fact, if you have a transaction that takes place like we've just talked about, one of those two things, or those two things, where you receive the gift and you turn your life over to Christ, I promise you this will happen. Your faith will be transformational. Because you can't come into a relationship with the God of the universe and not be different. You can't. If you can say that there's no difference between you before you were a Christian and since you've become a Christian, if you say that's happened, that's not true, because what we just read is this. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old has passed, the new has come. That doesn't mean you'll be perfect, but it does mean this. Jesus said, in order to know or be in the kingdom of God, you must be born again. If you have a child, and that child, when they're 13 years old, still weighs 7 pounds, 6 ounces, what is wrong? Something's wrong. It's not normal, because growth and change is going to take place because they've been born. And guess what? When we've been born again, when we are made into a new creation, it will be obvious. Yesterday, our family went to a sporting event. It was a wrestling event, and my wife and I were sitting in the stands and with our daughter, and this guy walks across that I haven't seen in probably, I don't know, months, years, and I go, oh my word, Jan, who is that? Is that who I think it is? And I'm not going to say his name, but he walks by and then he walks that way and I'm staring at him the whole time and it's almost awkward. Like, Jeff, stop staring at a man. But I was watching him walk across the room. I'm going, oh my word. He'd lost probably 150 pounds. I'm not kidding. And I'm not talking about in the last 6 months, but I'm just saying since the last time I really noticed that he, you know, when I saw him. And I'm just going, this guy looks like one of the wrestlers out there. Except for the fact that he's got a beard and wrinkles. But I mean, everything else looked young, you know. And I was just amazed, so much so that I stopped even watching some of the matches going, how did he do that? What in the world? I mean, there should be skin hanging somewhere or something. You know, he lost that much. He lost a person in his body. That's not normal. And I'm going, what in the world did he do? And Jan said, you know that. You knew he lost weight. And I said, I've never seen the difference so much staring me in the face. So much so that this morning when I woke up and I'm getting ready, and I don't know if it was looking in the mirror that caused this to come to my mind, like, oh, my word, wow. But I just go, how in the world? I'm going to call him this week. I am going to call him and find out what he did in our lives. There should be so much of a transformation. Not that you work up, not that you perform, not that you pretend to be transformed, but that actually Christ is so much a part of who you are, it naturally comes out. You think about the fact that as you look at your life, is the old passed away or is it just business as usual? Is there any evidence of the transformation of Christ in your life? Now, I'm not talking about just to you. I'm talking about, can people tell? Can you tell that Christ is still important? Do you ever think about Jesus during the day? Does he come to your mind? Do you find yourself in a situation where you go, God, I just need to talk to you for a second? Because he's there and you know it. Do you find yourself being changed in your desires? Do you find yourself being changed in the direction of your life? You're not just going through life living and saying, oh yeah, here, God, throw me a couple of verses to inspire me today. I'm talking about God changes your life, the direction of your life. Has your discussion changed? Do you talk about him? Has your demeanor changed? I mean, can people tell that there's a difference? And I'm not talking about when you pull into the church driveway. I don't know. There's some magical gate at that driveway right over there somewhere. I don't have directions very well. But when I pull in, all of a sudden, man, I can, hi, how are you, brother? Yeah. It's good to see you today, you know. But I had just been yelling at somebody for going too slow on, you know, Witten. My kids, stop, be quiet. Hey, how are you? You know, and we... All of a sudden, we are changed, not because of the transformation of Christ in us, but because of the accountability from the outside. Christ changes us from the inside out. He changes our demeanor. He changes our direction. He changes everything, our desires. And what I love about Christmas, my favorite thing next to I Have Seen the Light song, is the fact that Emmanuel means God with us. It's different than any other religion, any other place where they say, keep doing better to get to God. But Emmanuel says, God with us. In other words, he came to us. And not only is he around us when he was here on earth, but he is now through his Holy Spirit in us. If you're a Christian, if you've been through the transactions, you are now a person who God is in. If you are in Christ, you're a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. And God is calling us to say, does the Spirit of God speak to you? Do you hear his voice? Are you convicted of sin? When sin comes along, it doesn't mean you won't sin. It means that when you do, Jesus goes, hey, come on. Let's walk in purity. Let's walk in holiness. Let's walk in love. When you have something against somebody else, do you let that harbor? Or do you say, God, you've changed me and you've shown me love. I got to do the same thing. Does the Spirit convict you? Do you have a desire for God's word? When you open his word, does it come alive to you? Not because every single time it just jumps out of the page, but it's where God's word actually does speak to you. Not just because you hear it in a sermon that's meaningful, but like literally, you're not pretending you are a new creation, because if you are a Christian, you will be transformed. So step one is there's a transaction that takes place. Jesus on the cross was the first one, but then we respond in obedience by surrendering ourselves to him. That transaction leads to transformation, but that transformation doesn't stop. It goes to the next point, and that is this. Is your faith transferable? Is your faith transferable? Not should you, but is it? So here's what our verses say before here in verse 18. It says, all this is from God, which is very important to remember, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, Christ was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and, listen to this, entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, making this appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of God, be reconciled. Actually, you've been transformed. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever told anybody about it? Now, you may say, well, I was 8 years old, so it really didn't change a lot. Still, every day we need Jesus. The gospel is not something that happened. It's not something we received. It's something that still changes us every single day. We come to Christ saying, I need you today. And if that's the case, we're going to still be transformed by the gospel, and the gospel is then going to be something we can't keep to ourselves. And I don't want to cast guilt on you and say you should be sharing the scripture with somebody, but I'm saying this, it will happen if you've been changed. It may not happen by standing up here, or it may not happen by you at work deciding, okay, today's the day I'm going to stand on my desk and, you know, preach from the Bible to my whole, all the office suite. I'm not saying that's how it happens, but I am saying it will happen as people come in contact with you and you share about your life, because your life has been changed. You see, what Christ did here, and I want us to think about this, reconciliation, based in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us this, that at one time we were far from God. At one time we were strangers and aliens to God. We had no relationship with him, but we have been brought near through the blood of Christ. That's what brings us close to God. We've been brought near because of the blood of Christ. So the reconciliation happens because Jesus made a way. Well, how was that established? First of all, it came from God. Did you hear when we said that? All this is from God. Well, God initiates it. And this is what I think I love the most about this, is that God initiates in us salvation. He begins by saying, hey, I want you to come into my family. But not only that, he pursues us. And not only that, he really tries to draw us to himself. So I want you to think about this, is that you are given the opportunity to be initiated by God. God initiates salvation with you. He pursues you. And it's no different than any relationship that we have. Many of you are married in this room, and you remember a time where you initiated. Some of you guys, more than likely, it could have been the girl, I don't know, but the guys initiate that conversation. You see the girl across the room, and you go, man, I think I'd like to get to know her so she can be my wife, you know, or whatever you said in your mind. But you initiated that. You went up to her. You started talking to her. You know, you just go, just like Adam when he saw Eve. Whoa, man. You'll get that later. Woman. Never mind. That's the first thing Adam said. Woman, you know. But when we initiate, it's because we have a desire and an interest and we pursue. Well, Christ did that with us. And guess what? The best way we can be most like Christ is if we do the same thing. We initiate relationships with people for the purpose of sharing the gospel with them and helping them come to know the same Christ that changed our lives. We can invite people to know Christ. And when we pursue them, that doesn't mean we chase after them, and it doesn't mean we beat them over the head with a Bible. It doesn't mean we shove things in their face and say, read this right now. It's not where they ought to be running from us, but instead, because of the hope they see in us, they want to know what makes the difference. And you can't do it just by actions. It's verbal too. We have to share. And I think sometimes we minimize the stories of change in this room right here. I don't think we do it intentionally, but I think we just forget over time that you haven't shared your story of how God's transformed your life or changed your life, because you just think, well, people have heard it before. But you know, if God's changed your life, I'm challenged by the things that I can think about people in this room who I know who they were before and who they are now. And it's not because they've gotten better or turned over a new leaf. It's because they've interacted and intersected their lives with Christ. And it impacts the world when we share those things. Not our story makes us famous, but our story makes him famous. That's what it means to be transferable. You see, Jesus, he didn't excuse our sin in this whole process. He literally substituted himself for it. He paid such a high cost that what we do is we look at all the pain and all the rejection. I'll be rejected. People wish for me to ask to go through the same thing. I'll be rejected. People make fun of me. I may not be as popular as I once was in the minds of a lot of people, but guess what? Lives will be changed and transformed by the power of the gospel through the tool of my life. I feel like an ambassador is what we are talking about here, somebody who represents the kingdom of God to people who are separated from God. That's who we are called to be. We have been given the ministry of reconciliation. I don't know about your family. I don't know about your situation. I don't know about your life specifically. But as you look at these questions, you can see where God met Brian. Where God said, Brian said, this is it. I'm giving up. I'm not going to try to do it myself anymore. I'm going to give it all to Jesus. Well, that was followed by a transformation. The man couldn't keep quiet about Jesus. And it was followed by the fact that it was transferred to other people who then in turn it's transferred to. A movement is not something that happens because of some great speaker or leader. It's because obedience by individual people who say, I just love Jesus. The unique thing about this is these weren't pastors. These were people just sitting in the pew who said, I've decided it's time to be serious. Not just to do better at my faith, but actually say, Jesus, flow through me. I'm surrendering myself to you. So as you look at that, maybe today you identify the fact that you've never had a transaction where you gave your life fully to Christ. You know what? Today you can do that. You can walk down to the front and talk to one of the pastors in just a moment and give your life to Christ. They can connect you with somebody who will share with you how to fully surrender your life to Christ. You can do that today. Don't hesitate. If Jesus wants to come in and Jesus is pursuing you, respond in obedience. Surrender your life to him. But if you're here and you're a Christian and you have no doubt about that, but maybe you're just struggling because you haven't really, truly allowed Christ to transform you on a daily basis, maybe it's time to just surrender yourself again to him, maybe at the altar. Let's not keep this secret anymore. But I want to encourage all of us here, if you are a follower of Christ, let's not keep this secret anymore. Let's not be satisfied with just where we are and who we are and say, I like what we have here. What if we decided, you know what, let's see God change lives by being obedient and sharing it with somebody else. I believe God can do that if we'll be obedient and trust him to transform us. If anyone was in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. Let's bow our heads in prayer. As the musicians come to be in place and as our pastors come to stand at the front, I'm just going to ask you to be honest with yourself and with God. Evaluate your faith today. Where are you in your relationship with Christ? Some of you have been running literally the opposite direction. Maybe you've understood all this. Maybe you've been a follower of Christ, but you've turned the other way and you've actually run away from your faith. And God wants to transform your life too. I believe there's some of you here today who don't know Christ and you have all the trappings of Christianity, but you don't have Christ. That's the only transaction that will make a difference both in eternity and on earth. I'm just asking God today that if God speaks to you, that he'll draw your heart to talk to somebody about that relationship. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. You obediently walk and talk to somebody about your relationship with Christ. Make things right with God today. Father, this time is your time, and we know that you can do whatever you want to do. We pray that, God, your word would do the work. We know it's not anything that I've said or anything that has been done today that makes the difference. It's Jesus and him alone. I pray that we'd believe that again. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in just doing Christianity that we don't allow our hearts to be your disciple. So I pray today that you would speak to our hearts, help us obey, and respond according to the way you lead us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together, and as we sing, you obey.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Bartlett Baptist Church, and we thank you for being a part of our family today. If you would like to connect with someone about what you've just heard, or if you want more information about the family at Bartlett Baptist, our office number is 901-333-3350. And we are located at 3465 Kirby Whitten Parkway in Bartlett, Tennessee. Please visit us on the web at bartlettbaptist.org. Join us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter @BartlettBaptist. Thank you and have a blessed day.